And on today's Windy City Crewcast, Mitchell Fain with me again, and we are rodeoing in Rhode Island. Well, not exactly, but that's how Mitchell and I see it. That's right, we're talking about cowboys and the rodeo, gay cowboys, that is, a little brokeback mountain action. And Mitchell is off to Rhode Island, his home state. Yes, it is a state. It's very own little state, just perfect for little Mitchell. And he tells me that Providence has a gay mayor. Who knew? And you know, all the cute Italians in Rhode Island. How you doing on this Queercast?
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 235. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And we are going to Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
And the rodeo.
The rodeo and Rhode Island. There's no rodeo in Rhode Island.
There's no rodeo in Rhode Island.
Well, there might be, but it's mostly about boats. And Rhode Island, of course, for most people. Now, can I tell a quick anecdote about Rhode Island?
Please.
When I first moved to Chicago, my friend Jim also moved, and he was trying to register his car here, right?
Was he the dancer?
No. Okay. Jim was a therapist.
Okay.
And he was also from Rhode Island. We went to college together and he moved here and he was trying to register his car. So he went downtown to wherever you go to do that, switch over his registration.
Yes. And motorist vehicle.
Exactly. Whatever it is. I don't have a car. So the DMV.
The DMV.
So
Very good.
She said, where was this car registered? And he said, Rhode Island. And she said, oh, Rhode Island, Connecticut. And he said, no, just Rhode Island. She was like, right, Rhode Island, Connecticut. And he was like, no, not both. Just Rhode Island. She's like, yeah, Rhode Island, comma, Connecticut. She thought Rhode Island was part of Connecticut. Then,
funny. Yeah,
and then other people think Rhode Island is Long Island.
Oh.
Part of New York. Rhode Island is a state, people. It's the smallest state in the Union.
It's a little square.
It's one of the original 13 colonies. It actually declared independence from England 2 months before the rest of the country did on May 4th, 1776. With the burning of the Gaspee, which is a British ship in the harbor.
So you're one of the 13 original colonies?
Yes, of course. The capital of America used to be in Newport, Rhode Island.
Well, that's why those houses are all in Newport, Rhode
Exactly.
Island. I've seen those
anyway,
houses.
I grew up in Rhode Island. I grew up in the poor sort of city section, but even the poor city section of Rhode Island is so beautiful and quaint in New England.
Was your family all from there? How did you end up in Rhode Island?
Yeah, my whole family's there. My family's there. It's funny because my grandmother and her sisters were actually born in Chicago. And
of course,
they all passed away, God rest their souls, before I actually moved here. They would be so happy that I was here. But
So it is a state. It's the smallest state.
Small state, and it's
right
gorgeous.
Right on the coast.
It's the ocean state.
Yes.
So it's because it's, and it's not an island, it's a peninsula. And so it's just one of the most naturally beautiful. And most people, when they go to New England, they go to Maine, they go to Vermont, they go to New Hampshire, they go to the Cape, you know, in Massachusetts. And so Rhode Island, like I was saying on the last show, is sort of the best kept secret.
Yeah.
And we like it that way.
Now, when you say peninsula, it's not an isthmus, right?
Maybe it's more of an isthmus.
Because an isthmus, which I really like to say.
I do too.
Isthmus.
It's the gayest word ever.
It's the gayest word ever. Like Madison, Wisconsin is on an isthmus. And that means three sides of the actual state then would have to be surrounded by water.
Is it three sides?
Or there definitely probably are towns that are an isthmus.
Oh, yeah. And also there are islands, full-on islands. Off oh, the, I mean, are. Like Newport is an island, Newport, Jamestown.
Oh, that's true.
They're islands you have to take a bridge over.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but I know I've been to Newport.
Block Island that you have to take a ferry over to.
Newport News, is that what it's really called?
Or No, that's California.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that's California.
I've never been there.
No, Newport is like where, you know, where like the Rockefellers had their mansion and the Vanderbilts and the Kennedys got married there. And it's so beautiful. And I'm going with my really good friend Jordan, who may be the funniest person on the planet.
Where do you fly into?
Providence.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's the capital.
It's Providence Airport, but it's actually in Warwick. It is the capital.
Yeah.
It's called the Providence Airport. And whenever you sign up to fly, it says Providence PBD or whatever. But you're really flying into Warwick, which is next town over, or two towns over. But
are
so
there a
tiny.
Lot of colleges in Rhode Island?
There is. I mean, in that tiny little state, there's the University of Rhode Island, Rhode Island College, the Rhode Island School of Design, RISD, which is a very famous design school. Of course, Brown University.
Brown is there.
There's,
Providence. My cousin went to Brown.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That area around Brown?
My cousin used to say the most, like, it's so liberal there that, you know, you can get a degree in anything that you want. Like, you
at
could
Brown.
Say.
Yeah. As long as you can afford to pay for Brown.
Yeah, yeah. He got a scholarship, but his family could afford it, so he didn't
the
take
area
the scholarship.
Around Brown,
that's how cool he is.
The east side of Providence. In that tiny little section, there's both Rhode Island School of Design and Brown. So it's the most... First of all, it's crazy gay-friendly. It's super, like, just artsy.
Is it pretty where Brown is?
It's so pretty.
It's so different than Yale, because New Haven is like the armpit of the whole area.
It's ridiculously pretty. Like these gorgeous...
I want to go with you.
Amy, you have to go.
Next trip, can I be the
yes.
friend as opposed to Jordan?
It's so beautiful. All these
I'll even buy your flight.
These crazy... All right, I'll take you up on that. These crazy Victorian, old Victorian home. It's so beautiful.
But I'd kind of like to drive. Could we drive
Ooh, I
there?
I love road trips.
Can we
sing the entire score to Evita on the way?
Yes!
Thank you.
What's new? Rhode Island!
I love it. Actually, there's a great song from... an old Blossom Dearie song that's you come from Rhode Island and little old Rhode Island is famous for you, and it ends with saying Providence, Newport, Narragansett, and those are the three places I'm staying.
Narragansett
Beach in Narragansett, Rhode Island, named after the Narragansett Indians,
yes.
of which I think there's four left on the planet.
Good Lord.
Yes, because of course
Boy,
the
they're
British
endangered more than the polar bears
slaughtered them. Anyway, it's just ridiculously beautiful. It's just miles of untouched gorgeous
and lots
beach
of seafood. Lots of...
It's the combo. Rhode Island is a very Italian state.
Okay.
So the combination... In fact, the streets of Providence are paved the colors of the Italian flag. That's how Italian it is.
Oh, wow.
So the combination of old world, old school Italians and absolutely fresh, like sitting at a restaurant and seeing the lobster boat pull up to the back of the restaurant, plop out a lobster trap. You get to pick one before it's even gotten out of the trap. That's the kind of fresh seafood you have
wow.
in Rhode Island. It's... redonkulous.
Yeah, see, I only had that kind of food when I was in P-Town, which I haven't been there in years, and...
I am going to Provincetown for one of the weekends that I'm gone.
Are you? Yeah, I've been to Provincetown once.
Which is not Providence, people.
No.
Providence is the capital of Rhode Island. Provincetown is the tip of Cape Cod.
There you go. Massachusetts.
But, you know, one of the... here's a point of gay interest. Ding!
Yes.
Gay interest. The mayor of Providence, David Cicilline, is an openly gay man.
Wow!
And the only openly...
Have you met him?
What? I have met him because he hangs out at the bar Dark Lady.
Okay, I want him to call us and be like an interview guest.
All right.
How fun would that be?
All right. I'll if I run into him in town.
I got to get you a little recorder,
like a
then you could record a little interview
Wouldn't
with him.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
He's the only openly gay mayor of a capital city in America.
Really?
And it's so funny because there is a blue-collar sort of mafia quality to Rhode Island and Providence.
Yeah.
But with Cicilline, he's Italian Trump's gay in Rhode Island. You know
oh,
I mean?
So he's Italian.
So he's, you know, it's like,
he happens
hey, I heard
to
that
gay,
Cicilline, yeah, heard that Cicilline kid is running for mayor. Yeah, isn't he a fag? Yeah, but he's Cicilline's
a fagula.
Yeah, isn't he? Yeah, isn't he? Yeah, isn't he a fag?
What does everybody call it?
No, that's Jewish.
That's
fagula.
Jewish.
Fagula, yeah.
A fagula?
Yeah, isn't he a fag? Yeah, but he's Cicilline's boy, so he's okay. Oh, he's Cicilline's boy. See what I'm saying? So like,
yeah.
The old boy sort of Italian network trumps the gay.
How funny is that?
Yeah. And they seem to like him. I mean, he's been mayor for quite a while now.
Wow, is he cute?
Yeah, he's super cute.
Yeah?
He's super cute.
How awesome
yeah,
is that?
Yeah, he's like a hottie gay mayor. And, you know, you see him at all the events and stuff like that. And
is there a gay-ish part of Providence, where people would live, or neighborhood that's more just, you know, where people might go because there's cool shopping and walking.
Yes, the east side of Providence, near Brown and RISD.
Yeah,
it's
near the
really
college
funky,
campus.
Super artsy, super like gay friendly, yeah, near the campus. Although in general, I mean, Providence is a pretty gay friendly city.
So there's going to be a lot of gays and lesbians if Brown's there, because I think a lot of gay and lesbian students go
to Brown. Design school, Rhode Island School of Design. I mean, that's where the Talking Heads went to school.
Oh, very cool.
Matter of fact, the first love of my life, this amazing man named Brian Jones, who I will see when I'm home, who's older than me. He's an amazing dancer and artist, and he actually graduated with the Talking Heads and Martin Mull and Gus Van Zandt. They all went to RISD. In the 1970s, Rhode Island School of Design was the design school.
I saw David Byrne at Facets Multimedia Film Place back in 1997.
Was he shopping or performing?
I think he was going to watch a film.
I love David Byrne.
I was doing a play there.
Anyway, so I'm going with Jordan for a week, and then he's coming back to Chicago because he has a real job, and then I'm staying for another like 6 or 7 days. And just hanging out with good friends and going to the beach and eating food and seeing my godmother. One of the great things is that my immediate family, who I love, but they don't live there anymore.
Oh.
So when I go home now...
They all have to come in.
No. No, they don't. I get to have the state, this gorgeous vacation destination,
without
any responsibilities except pure liquid hedonism.
Aww.
So lots of cocktails on the beach.
I'm so doing the next trip with you.
Amy, you're
going to we're going to podcast from Rhode Island.
Oh my God, it's literally like a 14-hour drive.
I'm going to interview some people at Brown. We're going to set this whole thing up.
Why don't
we
do it?
A week, a road trip.
We could do it anytime, really, because it's always
I have to get a hybrid before we drive there.
You know what?
I'm working
fall,
on it. Mm-hmm.
In the fall in New England? Have you been to the fall
in
New England?
Let's go.
I mean, sweet Lord, it's
You'll have
pretty.
To turn right around and go back. I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, I can.
All right, we're going to go do the news, and we're going to say, yeah, I can. Yes. And we're going to talk about the Yippee-Yi-Yo-Ki-Yay Rodeo, too, today
first
on the
all,
show.
First of all, watch your language.
Yeah. Did you see my tongue on that?
I did.
Yippee-Yi-Yo-Ki-Yay.
Stop saying that.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts completely out of the question.
Watch out!
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, nudie boy. Because we all know, when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
The nudist county activity coordinator.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Missouri recently made history on Tuesday, August 5th, when lawyer Mike Colonna won the Democratic primary for a House seat. He will become Missouri's first openly gay legislator because there is no Republican challenger. Colonna had a lot of local support, but ties to an Illinois-based gay porn website, producer as custodian of records, made his run slightly controversial.
A gay New York dad fighting a bitter child custody battle with his estranged husband has surfaced in Israel with their infant son, Eric Hayat, who fled to Israel with the son he and ex Joshua Glazer adopted together, could face child abduction charges now. The couple, which was married 4 years ago, split last year.
New York Republicans recently introduced legislation that could make its schools gay-friendly. The legislation is an anti-bullying law for the state's public schools. It includes wording that would protect lesbian and gay students. If passed, the law would require teacher training and for schools to track instances of bullying.
At a recent HIV/AIDS conference, Indian Health Minister Ambumani Ramados called for the repeal of India's ban on gay sex. Ramados said that Section 377 of the country's penal code, which criminalizes sex between two men, must go. Ramados said that the ban must be repealed if the Indian country wants to see its HIV prevention, care, and treatment efforts succeed.
The Peace Corps, after pressure from the American Civil Liberties Union, agreed to stop discriminating against HIV-positive Peace Corps volunteers. The Peace Corps promised that it would no longer fire volunteers for being HIV positive. The ACLU has been pressuring the organization to change its policies since a volunteer was terminated from his post in Ukraine last year after testing positive for HIV.
Federal prosecutors said they aren't going to pursue how actor Heath Ledger got his hands on prescription drugs. Earlier this year, Ledger died from an overdose of painkillers. Federal investigators were looking into whether or not the drugs were obtained legally, but decided to drop it. No charges have been filed.
Actress Heather Matarazzo from Welcome to the Dollhouse and Logo's X's and O's and her musician girlfriend Carolyn Murphy are officially engaged. Matarazzo popped the question first, and then Murphy proposed to Matarazzo. The couple has been together for over a year. Matarazzo came out of the closet in 2004.
At a recent New York concert, Kanye West spoke out against homophobia. At his Glow in the Dark concert in Madison Square Garden, West said that he often is pegged as gay because of the way he dresses. The Chicago native said that the anti-gay slurs such as fag are disrespectful. Open your minds and live a happier life, Kanye said.
Now that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
So we're going to the rodeo today. Have you ever been to a rodeo?
I did go to a rodeo, actually. It's funny, before I said that there was no rodeo in Rhode Island, but there, I did go to a rodeo when I was a kid at the Exeter Town Fair in Rhode Island, where I also saw Johnny Cash.
Wow.
And I still have the t-shirt, 1982.
Wow. I've never been to a rodeo, and I really want to go to this rodeo, and I cannot
I
go because
went to
I'm
one
in
upst-
rehearsals.
Oh, you can't. I also went to one in upstate New York, as I remember as a kid.
Look at you, cowboy.
Come on, it's fun. It's sexy.
I think it's very sexy. I think cowboys are very quiet and sexy. And if you see Brokeback Mountain, it still makes me just shed a tear. I can't watch it without crying. And I think it probably definitely added some pastiche to the
whole... Is
this
a gay rodeo you're talking about?
It is. It's the Windy City Gay Rodeo. And it's here in August in Crete, Illinois. So they bus people from Chicago. So we're going to give you all the information. Michael Cunningham is the co-director of the rodeo. And it's cool because they started... They're a philanthropy also. They raise money. So there's just a way to like show up for direct services for the GLBT community and also enjoy the rodeo. I would like Kelly to learn how to rope. I think that would be kind of fun. You know, like swinging the rope in the...
Oh my God, people, if you could... If you only knew the layers of funny of what Amy just said.
Is it? Does it mean something bad that
no,
I
No, it doesn't mean bad. It's just so funny.
I thought, God, that's some
that you,
sort of...
That you want your girlfriend... To learn how to rope.
How fun is that?
Which is so funny. And then also the image of Kelly. Who's this like gorgeous statuesque woman dressed basically up as like Calamity Jane or Annie Oakley.
Yeah. I'm thinking more like Uma Thurman and Even Cowgirls Get the Blues kind of.
All right. I see where you're
Lorraine
going.
Lorraine Bracco.
All right. I get
smoking
it.
The cigarette. Because
at first I'm like, what is she going to sing? Like Secret
Love
or something?
No, I want the cowgirl who's like, doll, get over there. Put your spurs on. You know, like
That's
that kind of.
Funny.
I want that hot, you know, gravelly voiced. Slightly craggly.
I know, but Kelly
hot,
is so
hot,
elegant
hot.
And preppy.
I know. She is. She would hate that you said she was preppy.
She is preppy. Oh my gosh, is she going to be mad?
I don't know. We won't tell her.
Amy's girlfriend's a hottie, by the way. If you guys don't know this, I mean, not that you should stalk them or anything.
Please don't.
But they're like the hottest lesbian couple on the planet.
You're so cute.
You know it's true. Come on.
I do a little bit. Just because of her.
I mean, really.
Can I tell you that we went to...
quite a figure.
We went to the Wonka Ball, the About Face Theater party back in May. And of course, all these gay men were coming up to us and like talking to us and buzzing around us. And then Kelly would walk away because she's not really a part of About Face.
Right.
They'd either be board directors or funders
right.
or people who
so
might know
bored.
Me a little better. Yeah, she's kind of quieter, more shy than I am. And I mean, she can hold her own, but... She's just more reserved.
Right.
I'm the salesperson, personality,
right.
huge in a room. And she would like walk away. And I tell you, not one, not two, but handfuls of guys would be like, I so want to do your girlfriend. And that's really strange because I'm a gay man, but your girlfriend is so
She's
hot.
She's hot. I know.
And I was
well,
like,
remember the other night after Kelly's show, we went out, I won't say your name, but the playwright, is this hottie? Like, if I were a lesbian.
Oh, come on. You can say Sarah Gubbins.
Sarah Gubbins, right? Because if she listens to this, I'll be embarrassed. But, like, I kept thinking, oh, my God, if I were a lesbian, I'd be so up in her business.
Yeah.
She's, like, hot.
She's like Harry Potter hot. That's what I always tell her. Like, she wears Harry Potter.
Yeah, but she also wears nerdy glasses, like, sort of dark frame glasses. Yeah.
She looks like Clea DuVall to me.
Yes. She's sexier than Clea DuVall.
She is much sexier than Clea DuVall.
Anyway, I think she's beautiful. So if you're listening,
that's
Sarah,
our little teasy for you.
Mitchell thinks
Sarah Gubbins.
Mitchell thinks you're a hottie.
Yes. Mitchell has ungay thoughts about you.
Yeah, I have.
As all the men were having ungay thoughts about my girlfriend at the Wonka Ball. It was strange. I was like, we're having the ungaying of About Face Theater as we're walking through this benefit.
It's funny. It's like I was on this cruise ship, and I met this. I talked about it a couple shows ago. And I met this unbelievably beautiful girl, straight girl, unbelievably beautiful. And I have never, I mean, I'm sure there's other gay men out there who have sort of had this weird, like, I know I'm gay. I'm as gay as a picnic basket.
Yeah, Steven Rader says he's a Kinsey 7.
I might be a Kinsey 9. I mean, I'm like, and yet, holy moly.
Yeah.
I haven't had that sort of like heterosexual of fantasy life in a very long time because of this girl. I mean, just like. So I get it. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, it's so fluid. Like, every once in a while, you just go, God, that's a gorgeous person.
Yeah.
You know, inside and out. And so, like, the idea of, like, being with them, I'm not necessarily talking about necessarily fucking. I'm talking about, like, having them be your intimate, mm-hmm. your, the person that's your.
And who's
most
into you.
Yeah, most important to, and is most important to you. Like, you know, it transcends gender sometimes, I think.
Yeah. I'm still into her roping me in the backyard. We have a big long
backyard. All right,
backyard.
Can I watch?
Yeah, you can. We're going to see a lot of hot people that cross that cross all amounts of whatever could attract you. I have a feeling there are going to be some hotties at the rodeo.
You can't go.
I can't, but I'm hoping lots of the podcaster listeners will go. And
oh, yeah, they have to let me know because I'll be away.
Yeah, you'll be in Rhode Island at the rodeo in Rhode Island. But we hope that you're all in the rodeo in Crete, Illinois, or catch a rodeo with some gay folks. You know, the International Gay Rodeo Association, IGRA, you can get involved with them as well, no matter where you're listening to this. So if you like cowboys and cowgirls, saddle on up.
The ultimate feel-good musical is back and better than ever. Don't miss your chance to have the time of your life at Mamma Mia.
You can dance, you can jump, having the time of your life. Ooh, see that girl, watch that scene, get in the dancing queen.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 11th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Don't miss the world premiere of Love in the Middle Ages at Village Players in Oak Park, a new musical comedy about baby boomers jumping back into the dating scene. Fun for couples or a big group. August 21st to September 21st. Call 866-764-1010 or go to villageplayers.org for tickets.
Powerful movement, mesmerizing imagery, and naked people on scaffolding doing Shakespeare. Don't miss Unsex Me Here, a stripped-down one-hour production of Macbeth, featuring performers as living canvases, costumed in projected textures and unique lighting, and even audience participation. Fridays and Saturdays at 11 o'clock at National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Tickets are only $15. Visit thelivingcanvas.com.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. It's a wondrous surprise to report that the gay-themed material in Ben Stiller's Tropic Thunder, and there's plenty of it, drew not only the biggest laughs from the sea of straight guys sitting around me at the suburban screening where I saw it, but that the laughs weren't derisive in nature. Was I dreaming? Did these dudes really just applaud wildly at the moment one of the macho characters embraced his gay sexuality? Has the culture shifted a tad toward full acceptance out there in the hinterlands? Whether it has or hasn't, and boy, I sure hope it has, Tropic Thunder is one hell of a funny movie. Stiller, directing his first movie since Zoolander and co-writing with Justin Theroux, stars as an over-the-hill action star named Tuck Speedman with beautiful biceps, who is making a big-budget war epic like Rambo, Platoon, and Apocalypse Now, along with Jack Black as a struggling drug addict famous for his fart comedies, Robert Downey Jr., who is hilarious and steals the movie, as an Australian method actor so committed to his craft that he's undergone a skin pigmentation operation in order to play an African-American, and Brandon T. Jackson as Al Pacino, a rap star crossing over into movies. Steve Coogan from the forthcoming Hamlet 2 plays the director who is frustrated by the phony emoting of his stars, decides to drop the actors into the middle of the jungle and force them to become the real soldiers they're portraying while shooting the whole thing with hidden cameras. The story is chock full of movie industry in-jokes, and the audience gets the bonus of reveling in the over-the-top violence at the moment the movie is spoofing it. A very canny device. Casting Tom Cruise as the verbally abrasive movie mogul is a bit of inspiration, and Cruise's natural intensity works for once, and he draws big laughs in his fat suit and bald head. I can't believe I'm praising Tom Cruise, but he did make me laugh. Tropic Thunder is a spot-on parody, a black comedy that darkens as it goes along. There are aspects of network here, though not its prescient insight. It's a large-scale comedy that doesn't resort to the smarmy adult adolescence of the Judd Apatow movies for its laughs, and is easily just as entertaining, if not more so. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Just a little tip I wanted you to know. If you're breaking in some time between the Olympic action, don't miss Logo August 17th, that's this Sunday, when they premiere Sarah Waters, lesbian author's brand new film, Affinity, based on her hot thriller romance novel. Don't miss it on Logo, Affinity by Sarah Waters on August 17th. And cowgirls from across the U.S. and Canada are going to be saddling up for Chicago to attend the Windy City Rodeo 2008. It's the 12th annual IGRA sanctioned rodeo hosted by the Illinois Gay Rodeo Association. And I'm just really thrilled to sit down here with the co-rodeo director, Michael Cunningham, who I'm sure is in chaps. I hope he is. And talk about what is a gay cowboy and do cowgirls get the blues? I have no idea, but I am a bit of a cowgirl myself. Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Amy?
I am fantastic. It's not often, although we've been on a bit of a streak here on the podcast talking about Southern people. So when I think of cowboys and cowgirls, I think of Southern or rural heritage. But how does the tradition of rodeoing, that's even a word, rodeoing, come to the GLBT community?
It started, a long, long time ago, back in like the early 80s. There were some groups out of Texas, Colorado, California, and Arizona that were holding rodeos as fundraisers. You know, it kind of makes sense coming from those, those communities that they would have rodeos because pretty natural. And they started to do it as fundraisers for the GLBT community. So that's kind of where it all started. And then back in 85, a guy named Wayne Giacchino out of Colorado, Denver, started all these groups, got them all together, formed them together, and then they formed the International Gay Rodeo Association.
So what is a rodeo? I mean, we have people who listen around the world. In case they don't know what a rodeo is, what is it?
Well, I guess it is pretty much an American an American sport, for sure, is when it started. Rodeo, our rodeo consists of many different events. You know, your traditional ones like bareback bronc riding, where a cowboy or cowgirl mounts a bareback bronc and tries to stay on. We are an amateur rodeo, not professional, in order to cover 8 seconds for a professional rodeo. Amateur is 6 seconds. But let me tell you, trying to stay on top of like a bareback bronc for 6 seconds, going about 35 miles per hour towards a fence, it's not an easy accomplishment.
Wow.
So that's like one of the events we have, as well as like bull riding, steer riding. You know, some horse events like barrel racing, where there's like a clover leaf pattern of three barrels in the arena, and they try to round each barrel, and whoever has the best time wins.
Now,
that's some of our events.
Now, do the people who, do you call it performing or compete? I guess you compete.
Competing.
Right?
It's competing, yes.
The people who compete, are these people who live and breathe horses and rodeo 12 months out of the year, or is this something they just do, you know, on occasion?
A lot of them do. A lot of them, you know, travel all over we're the International Gay Rodeo Association across, you know, United States and Canada, mainly the Calgary area. So a lot of people do travel. There's about 19, 20 rodeos or so a year on our circuit, and a lot of them do travel to a predominant amount of those. And as well as other people that just want to compete, like on maybe one or two rodeos, or just a rodeo that's in their area.
Now, talk to me about the IGRA or the ILGRA, obviously, is for Illinois. How does the organization function? And you talk about the early days of the GLBT community and rodeo coming together around philanthropy. Is that still a core part of the mission?
Absolutely. We're 100% driven by trying to raise money or funds for what we call our charity partners. And every state association across the United States and in Canada, they do the same thing. The IGRA International is mainly like an umbrella organization that kind of keeps the rules and regulations together for everybody, so everyone's on the same page. But it's definitely, you know, we are, not only do we have this Windy City Rodeo in August every year, that's our major annual event, but we also are a year-round organization that raises money and funds, you know, Every weekend we're out there trying to raise more money so we can, one, produce the rodeo, and two, raise as much money as possible for our charity partners.
Now, do you have the same charity partners always, or do you pick new partners every year?
They do rotate at times. Over the past several years, we have had the same three charity partners. I think they go, you know, really hand in hand. We try to give our money to the organizations that give the majority of their money back to the people that need it.
So who are those this year?
The Howard Brown Health Center, which is an incredible organization I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Yes.
They do great service in the community. Vital Bridges as well, and an organization called Direct Aid. Those are our three charity partners for the year.
So I want to know, how can you tell a true cowboy, or I guess cowgirl, from a wannabe?
Well, we don't try to discriminate. and you've mentioned several times with cowgirls, you know, there is a good like 40% or more of our competitors that are all cowgirls, and they do travel across the United States as well and competing. And it's just as predominant in our community and our rodeo community, with the cowgirls and cowboys just side by side competing as well.
Is that unusual? I mean, you said you all are an amateur level, but is that unusual, or do women get more of an opportunity with the gay rodeo?
I think it's just equal. I think it's a great opportunity for anyone that wants to compete. You know, whether you are a cowboy or a cowgirl that competes across the circuit, or let's say you just wanted to come out, join the Illinois Gay Rodeo Association and compete this the 23rd, 24th of this month. There are some events that kind of make it even for the whole playing field. We have three different events that are called the camp events. And there, one of them I'll just describe as goat dressing, and it's kind of funny. It's a two-person team. It could be two men, two women, doesn't matter, mixed, to compete and try to put a pair of tighty-whities, some nice little tighty-whity underwear, on a goat. And it's some kind of fun. It's a very funny event, and it's an incredible crowd pleaser. I mean, it's just great to watch. It's a lot of fun. But ironically enough, it ends up becoming one of the most competitive events out of the whole 13 events that we have for the rodeo. Because so many people enter, so therefore the prize money is higher. So it's actually a very funny event, yet very, very serious.
Now, I'm feeling a little pathos for the goat, just a little. I'm feeling a little like the goat's getting the short end of this stick.
you know, well, he does get to try on several different pair of panties throughout the event. And he gets a lot of attention.
I bet he does. Do you think there are certain characteristics in a person, though, that makes a person good for the world of the rodeo?
That makes a person...
You just kind of fit, you know? You just kind of fit. Like, I would say if you were going to be an accountant, you'd be pretty fastidious. You would... you know, be very specific. I mean, what kind of qualities do you see in the people who love rodeoing?
Well, I think, you know, just good-natured, people with good hearts that were trying to raise money for charity and doing something that is different than just going to a club or something like that. You know, you can get out in the open. There's a lot of camaraderie with the group, not only your local group, but then, you know, meeting all the different groups, you know, across the nation.
Yeah.
That you have friends everywhere. That's just a wonderful opportunity for people. And, you know, a lot of people, like in Chicago, for instance, you know, Chicago's a considerable melting pot, just to give that an example, as one large city. Most people that live in Chicago came from smaller communities, a lot of them being rural, and they grew up around the farming community and around rodeos and this kind of events. So I think it really gives them a huge comfort zone to know that there are organizations in the big city that are like this.
So tell me your background. How do you come to this in terms of as a young boy? Were you competing? Were you in 4-H? Were you around animals?
I grew up downstate Illinois, and I grew up in Springfield, which is a larger city, not huge by any means, but it's a larger city. But a lot of my family were farmers and still are out in the country area around the small surrounding little towns around Springfield. So it was very second nature to me. I mean, I grew up around all this kind of stuff. So when I moved to Chicago, and then several years later, I was introduced to the Rodeo Association by one of my friends. And he says, you should totally, you know, check this out. This is a great time. And he was from a rural community as well. And it just was amazing.
Now, do you compete, Michael?
I do not compete anymore. I used to compete, but since I'm the rodeo director, it's kind of like, you know, running the lottery and playing it. They kind of frown on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'm pretty busy, you know, during the whole rodeo weekend, so it's kind of impossible for a rodeo director to compete.
Now, do you think, I mean, I would think this is a pretty macho world in the mainstream rodeo world. Is there a lot of prejudice, and is it hard for... I guess gay men and women to be a part of the mainstream rodeo community in the U.S.?
You know, I'm not a part of the mainstream rodeo community. You know, I'm pretty much focused on this, but I think it is pretty challenging. I mean, we do have competitors that compete on the circuit that also do compete in some pro rodeos,
mm-hmm.
or maybe like, you know, pro-am kind of things. Pro amateur kind of rodeo events, and I know that they're not out at those events.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think it would be a pretty closeted society. I mean, I don't know if you all noticed in your 12 years a bump in attendance or interest when Brokeback Mountain came out, but I mean, I think that was the moment that the gay cowboy kind of had a lot of spotlight and a lot of focus. Did you notice that that after that very heartfelt story that was embraced by so many, that there was more attention on kind of gay cowboys and the rural gay man?
Absolutely. You know, we were, you know, on several different facets. When we're just out and about with our cowboy hats on, you know, everybody's like, oh, Brokeback Mountain. And like, no, really, we're the Illinois Gay Rodeo Association, but
yeah, right.
Thanks for the notice. But it did, it really spiked some attendance and a lot of interest and awareness and a lot of media interest as well from the mainstream media wanting interviews and stuff like that around our rodeo over the last couple of years. It's really given them an interest in it, as well as I think a different understanding by a lot of straight people that weren't familiar with this kind of like, oh, my God, there are gay cowboys.
Right. Yeah. So tell me, the event is being held on Saturday, August 23rd and 24th in Crete, Illinois. And then there are pre-rodeo events on August 22nd, which is Thursday. Are these all-day events? I mean, if I wanted to come and experience the 2008 Windy City Rodeo, what would that be like for me? Would I stay there all day?
Well, for the rodeo itself, yes. Our pre-events are like the Thursday we have the annual Pahooch Bar Crawl, which is our kickoff party, kind of. With, you know, we've got all the cowboys and cowgirls coming in from around the nation and Canada, and we give them a little pre-party, show them some of the our watering holes, if you will, up in Chicago in the in the Lakeview area, and kind of tool them around there. And then Friday is
so
our
registration. So if you're looking for a cowboy or cowgirl, you should be in the Lakeview area on the 22nd is what we're saying.
Yes, exactly. It kicks off at Charlie's at 7 p.m. And it is free for anyone that would want to attend. We have a shuttle bus, so it's all, you know, so no one has to drink and drive, and that's all taken care of. And then we tool around to several different bars in the area and then head back to Charlie's at the end.
And so tell me how people get to the rodeo. What's the best way for people to find out how to get to Crete? And are they good to stay there all day long? There's food, there's accommodations and all of that.
Oh, absolutely. The best way, you know, if you do not have a car or do not want to drive, we have shuttle buses that leave from the city from several different locations. Charlie's. We have buses leaving from Charlie's. We have buses that are going to be leaving from Touche and Jackhammer, and as well as we're setting up some buses that are going to try to leave out of the center on Halsted. So it's $25. That includes your admission to the rodeo grounds and your transportation back and forth. So you really can't beat that, especially
wow.
with gas prices today.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just try to make it easy because a lot of people in the city don't drive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if they're going to go down there, and like you said, you know, we do provide, we have food, we have an incredible food there, we have a full bar, so it just makes it safer for everyone as well. That is an option for people.
Yeah.
And driving directions, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Driving directions can be found on the website, the ILGRA.com. They're driving directions to get you down there and back. So it's really about a 45-minute drive. It's not hard. Get, you know, wander out in the country and then hang out at the rodeo.
Now, what do you all do at night? Are we having barn dancing or something at the end of the evening?
On Saturday night, we have Friday night, after the contestant registration, when all the contestants are there, that's at our host hotel. And then all that information is on the website as well. The host hotel, and then we head over to a bar called Club Crave, which is in Blue Island, right in the area by the host hotel, about a 10-minute drive, 5-minute drive, something like that. So we have a kickoff party there, and then Saturday night there's also a party there, as well as we have a shuttle bus that brings all the cowboys and cowgirls, if they so choose, back into the city from out in the suburbs, brings them there, drops off at Charlie's. So everybody's welcome to come out to Charlie's and cowboy and cowgirl hunting.
I think it sounds like it's a fun-filled weekend. You better get your Wranglers and your Levi's all ready and pressed is what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. You get your cowboy hat on. If you don't have one, you can buy one when you're down there. We've got a lot of vendors, too, that sell stuff. And
that's great. Can you can get, actually, do you all have chaps and hats and belts and all of that?
Everything you'd want. There are several different companies out there, including Alcala's, which is a huge Western wear here in Chicago, and they have been a longtime supporter of the Windy City Rodeo, and they'll have a full assortment out there for everybody.
Wow. Well, it sounds like an amazing time and something many city folk may not have ever experienced or seen. So head on out on Saturday, August 23rd or the 24th. You can get all the information at the website, ilgra.com. And if somebody says, you know, I wouldn't even know what to wear, do you care? Do you just come on out in your shorts and your shirt and you just enjoy, right?
It doesn't matter. You can wear flip-flops and shorts. It doesn't matter. You can be full Western regalia or flip-flop shorts and a T-shirt. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think a little sunscreen.
Everyone is welcome. You know, a lot of GLBT families come out as well. We've got a lot of little kids that are wandering around. There's little cowboy hats and stuff for them, too. It's a great day for everyone. You know, it doesn't matter your walk of life. Everyone is welcome. Everyone will have a great time.
Now, do you have a lot of straight people that attend the rodeo?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's predominantly, it's a gay rodeo, mainly advertised in the gay media, via the gay media. But there are a lot of straight, you know, I own a salon in Chicago, and a lot of my clients come out and bring their kids, and it's just a great day.
Ugh, they want to see that goat get those panties put on. That's what I want to see. That's hilarious. Hey, and it's all for a good cause, all raising money for Howard Brown Health Center, Vital Bridges, and Direct Aid. Michael Cunningham, he is the co-rodeo director of the Windy City Rodeo 2008. If you're interested in getting involved with the organization and the work that they're trying to do, or you want to attend the rodeo, here in August in Crete, or any of their events that are going to be happening even in the Lakeview area, you can just visit ilgra.com. We'll have that linked on our show notes. Michael, thanks so much, and have a great time, and I hope people stay on the bull.
Great, Amy. Thank you very much for having us.
Hi there, I'm Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. The summer heat has arrived and the beaches, including the nude one, are now open, so I hope you'll pack your bags and join us for a drink on a patio here at Toronto's Gay Village. It won't be just the weather heating things up in the city this summer. Performances like Dirty Dancing, Evil Dead the Musical, and Avenue Q will be keeping things hot on stage in Toronto this summer. Visit www.seetorontonow.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
Mitchell, it's been so fun having you with me, and I know you're going to Rhode Island, so I guess you'll be on the show next month.
Awesome.
When you come back, it'll be September. Practically.
It will be practically September, and then we
my
can
birthday
talk about,
month.
We can talk about new circus stuff coming out. Midnight Circus.
I would love that.
We have brand new shows, our Halloween extravaganza, our 11th year. And so yeah, I have stuff to talk about.
That's going to be fun. And we're going to plan our Rhode Island road trip. Hopefully when there's a rodeo in Rhode Island. That would be best.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Let's just make it all
rodeo,
work.
Rodeo Rhode
Sync
Island.
Sync our lives up.
Rodeo Island.
I love it.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.